Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 2 for 8.
2 for 8. Whoville's great. Whoville's great. Whoville from the Grinch, because I feel like I'm in Whoville now, Pierre, because it's snowing.
Is it?
Yeah, snowing outside my window.
Oh, it was fucking cold this morning where I am, so it did. That does make sense now that I think about it, but I look outside my window, Philip, and there is no snow at all. But
I think your building emanates too much warmth.
Yeah, there is a thick, low, white cloud, though.
I don't know if my phone camera resolution's high enough. Can you see those white flecks flying about?
Oh,
outside?
Yeah, little ghosts. Spirits.
Little ghosts of rain to become. Rain to be. Rain of futures past.
When was the first time you encountered snow?
It was when we visited the UK for a month, maybe, when I was 12.
Mm.
And my mother thought it'd be fun for some reason to enroll us in the local school. This was somewhere in like the Midlands.
Was it that thing where, because it was still like summer holidays for school where you'd come from?
It must have been, yeah. And I don't know why she thought this would be a good idea. I hated it terribly. the kids were just so badly behaved and they weren't caned if they were badly behaved.
Yeah,
so
that must have seemed like a real fucking badly scam to you.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like if they did get rid of the police completely.
Yeah, it was defund the cane. And I was like, this is the future liberals want, pointing at kids not paying attention in chemistry. Honestly, it was like I was in some sort of It's a Wonderful Lifestyle movie,
yeah,
where an angel was showing me a world without caning, and I was going, take me back, angel, take me back. Whoa, it's really heavy now. Oh, here comes the snow. Well, it was at this school one lunchtime. I sat on my own on the bench in the playground.
Yeah, muttering about canes.
And a single white flake landed gently on my knee. Oh no, it was on my sleeve. On the sleeve of my jacket, my puffy jacket. And I looked at it and I asked someone next to me, what's that? And they said, that's snow. Isn't that cute?
And you said, that's snow what?
That's no laughing matter. That's no way to talk to a new student. That's snow what? It was cool. That's my first ever experience of snow.
What did you do? Did you lick it? Did you just go, oh?
I think I picked it up with my finger and it melted on my finger.
Was it freaky?
I
guess you'd seen it in films and stuff.
It was actually very humble. I think I'd built snow up so much as this all-encompassing,
yeah,
blizzard-like situation.
Yeah.
That when I encountered just a single snowflake, I thought, oh, wow, how humble snow actually is alone. I guess snow is like a bees. It's only really life-threatening in great numbers.
Yes, unless
a single snowflake is fine.
Yeah.
Unless you're allergic to snow. Do you reckon there's anyone allergic to snow?
There's got to be someone out there who's allergic to water.
I think it does exist, but I can't imagine they make it too far up here. I'm going to look it up now.
Yeah, look it up. While you look it
up. Oh, that's a tough one, being allergic to water.
While you look it up, I first encountered snow at the age of, I think, 8 years old on the Isle of Man.
Me, 8 years old, yep.
I think I was eight. And me and my younger sister lost our fucking minds.
That must have been cool.
We were stayed out so long our hands went like blue because we were like, it's real. It made itself into ice more than I thought. It, like,
well,
if you compact,
yeah,
it, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it would still retain some of its fluffiness somehow, because visually it does. But it turned out that making a snowman, while fun, was much more like... I think when kids are making snowmen in their heads, the soundtrack is the soundtrack to the Northman. Because it's like hard labor and you're trying to roll this stuff and it's ice and it's so heavy and dense and your hands are freezing and you're so hot in your little jacket.
I got in trouble for throwing a snowball at my sister, back of the head, execution style. And
you have to do two snowballs in quick succession. Pew, pew.
Yeah, one to the skull and one to the spine. Really quick, yeah. And she started crying, and it turned out there's like a piece of ice in there, and it really hurt.
Yeah.
And I got in trouble for hurting her. But I didn't have the language at the time to say, plausible deniability. There's no way I could have known there was ice in that snowball. I should not be tried. Firstly, I should not be tried as an adult, which it feels like I am. And secondly, at worst, it's the manslaughter equivalent. If hitting my sister with a block of ice is murder, I've at best committed manslaughter.
Yeah, there should have been a bit where your sister's lawyer took her aside and said, well, actually, well, unless we can prove he inserted the ice deliberately, we'll never get him on these charges. The DA is recommending that we downgrade. In a big meeting, like in Law and Order. Yes, I. There's always that thing where someone says there's a stone in it. A bad kid can put a stone in a snowball, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, like putting a razor blade in a cake.
Yes, or in the brim of your hat.
Like
an old school janster. A janster.
Of course, we were ambushed by snow in Africa.
We were snowed in to the highest pub in the world.
Yeah, in Lesotho. It's quite a thing. And we were with the South African crew who had mostly never seen snow before.
Yeah.
And they certainly didn't expect to see the first ever snow in South Africa, Southern Africa.
Yeah, it was very surprising and it was very deep and cold. I was really weirded out by it. I actually got sent a message on Instagram by James.
Oh, yes.
From the crew.
Comedy fan, James.
Yes, yes. He's back in the highest pub in the world the other day, but trapped by fog instead of snow.
What?
Yeah. And he sent
me a dangerous pub.
Yeah, I know. What a spooky pub. Spooky highest ever pub.
They might as well put a Sky Sports banner outside that pub for how dangerous it is.
That is a scary signal, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the UK. I walked past a pub the other day where I thought, wow, by that metric, this is the most terrifying pub ever. Because, like, it was very run down. The windows were, like, some of the windows were just, like, wallpapered over. Like newspapered over.
And, yeah.
Like, it was, like, hadn't been repainted in ages. The sign was crappy. And the pub sign was bad, but, like, perfectly clear. And just a bit ratty, where like, it was a pub on a corner, so it had four sides.
Yeah.
The walls. And just like, I've never seen the Sky
Wait,
Sports logo.
Wait, a pub on the corner wouldn't have two sides?
It was on a corner it was only attached at the back. It's at the top of a block. See what I'm saying? Like that. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Imagine a row of buildings. The building at the end of the row has three sides.
If
there's two streets, either side.
Okay, I get you.
See what I mean?
So it's sort of pointing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every side had a Sky Sports stuff
it's
on it.
It's a building peninsula.
Every side had Sky Sports stuff on it, and it had two sandwich boards out in the street advertising a long list of football games for teams I hadn't heard of.
Woof.
And it was like midday and a weekday, and it was fucking rammed with the crowd.
Ay, caramba.
It was it was very busy with the kind of people you normally see smoking outside of Wetherspoons on the foldy chairs.
Yep.
And I thought, fucking hell, there's some fights in that pub.
Oh, big time. But we need them to exist. We need pubs to siphon off people who you don't want at our pubs. And there's some bright scary news this week. Is it Vodka Revolutions going out of business?
No. Vodka Revs.
Yeah, I know.
Are you telling me, Phil? Are you honestly telling me, Philip Wang, that the British public are sick of buying a flight of 6 shots of the worst vodka they've ever had? Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I think I did first disgusting. Couple of times.
Absolutely disgusting.
But at least it's only when you've never drunk anything before in your life.
Yeah.
That kind of takes the edge off.
That's
having
true.
Zero tolerance. Well, yeah, it looks, yeah. So the revolution to close 8 bars despite best Christmas for a while. So it's closing 8 bars.
So even though they had the best ever Christmas with loads of vomiting and horrible mm-hmm. vodka flavored with strawberry.
Well, this is how all revolutions end up, isn't it, Pierre?
Running out of money.
Running out of money, eating its own children.
Fucking typical.
The infighting, I'm sure. The bartenders have been sort of beheading each other because they aren't pure enough about vodka.
Yeah, vodka revolutions had the same CEO for 40 years and then he died of a stroke and then they had to replace him with a new guy who backstabbed the other guy. The Politburo of vodka revolutions is very...
What exactly was the revolutionary idea of vodka revolutions? Was it that people wanted to drink vodka?
Yeah, I think it was that what if we actually sold vodka kind of more than most pubs? And also we made it seem...
The revolution starts here!
Yeah. And then... just immediately vomiting. What if the
but
revolution
my worry,
was...
Pierre.
It's like a pub that sells vodka a bit more. But yes. It looks like a laser tag lobby. It's got a weird theme.
What style. You're talking about, Greg, is a revolution. Are you sure you're ready for this? Selling disgusting vodka that is flavored with some licorice.
Awful, those flights of vodka. I
hated really disgusting. Them. It also gave me an incorrect assumption on how flavored alcohol was going to be for the rest of my life.
Mm.
My yeah. presumption was every alcohol has its base, well, not vanilla, base unflavored state. And then if you're really fancy, you add some cherry, you add some licorice, you add flavor to that thing.
Oh, really?
I assumed it was classy to have sort of flavor because you're adding. I mean, it's still at the age where you're like, oh, more is good. So if you're adding things to the drink, then it must be better.
Oh, so you're like, oh, the king of Poland, he would have the most flavored vodka around.
Yeah.
That would be his special drink, would be a vodka of 1,000 flavors.
Exactly. Apple and blueberry vodka. What am I, a Habsburg? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's right. When you're young, you sort of think, but that's more. That's loads. So that's good.
But this is my worry, Pierre. If a business like Vodka Revolution goes down in the same way, and I think I've made this comparison before, but in the same way we need the sea and forests as carbon sinks.
Yeah.
Places like Vodka Revolutions are twat sinks. And we need them to keep the twats, to hold the twats in so that they don't suffocate us.
Yes.
In our nice pubs, in our nice bars.
And so our nice pubs don't start to have a financial incentive to start selling flights of strawberry licorice caramel
mm-hmm,
vodka.
Mm-hmm. And bottomless brunches. This is my authoritarian opinion. Bottomless brunches should be illegal. The British public cannot be trusted with a bottomless brunch, I'm afraid. I'm afraid we cannot. Maybe when we learn to behave and control ourselves, we can have bottomless brunches back. But for now, no bottomless brunches. This is my offer to the British people. Either bottomless brunches are banned, or we rejoin the EU. Up to you.
Oh, I mean, that's going to be a lot more than 52-48 in favor of brunch.
In favor of which do you think would win?
Brunch.
As in, so we'd rejoin the EU so people can get their bottomless brunches back.
Oh, I see. I thought you... Oh, sorry, I misunderstood.
Sorry, I phrased it maybe a bit... confusingly.
Oh, then yeah. Then, ooh, God, no, then it would be close. Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be close. I mean, it was so close last time, and that was based on nothing.
Yeah, so this is based on something. This is based on, unlimited eggs and Prosecco.
Eggs and Prosecco. What a delicious combo. All farty, the eggs. I'd love to have some farty eggs with a big fizzy drink.
Yeah, and I want to build up a load of gas in there to really add some pressure to this eggy concoction whisking up.
I want a belly full of wet egg and fizzy sour booze at fucking 11 in the morning. That's what I want. I want to be absolutely boiling inside. Just a terrible tornado. I've never thought of it in those terms before. It's horrible.
It is gross, isn't it?
Throw some bechamel sauce in there. Let's curdle some fucking cream.
Stop it. And yeah, why not have... And then a latte as well to mix it all up. Some coffee. Let's add coffee to that mix.
Let's add some coffee. Let's get this fucking rocket fuel going. The bathrooms at Bottomless Brunch must be a nightmare. It must just be...
Oh, my God.
They must look like a test site.
There's a great piece. Is it in The Guardian about... a guy who used to work waiting tables at a Bottomless Brunch in London. And it's like, he's like, ban these things now. It just sounds horrific.
See, like the old sailor from Jaws. You see what I seen, boy?
Mm.
The eyes of a Bottomless Brunch lady, black like a doll's eyes. Just harrowed, scratching his
head. I think also what makes it worst is that it is a trashy thing dressed up as classy, which brings out the worst in people. It's very interesting. I was talking to someone who had been a cabin crew, air attendant.
Yeah.
And
A flying attendant. Yeah.
A flying security guard and nurse. They all are, basically.
Yeah. It's a mixture of roles on the land.
But she had worked in all the classes. Economy, premium economy, business first. She worked them all. And I said, who are the worst? In which class has the worst people in them? And she said premium economy by far.
Whoa, yeah.
Premium economy is the worst class because they've paid a little bit and expect like a lot back.
Uh-huh.
Everyone else is sort of comfortable where they are. Everyone else sort of knows where they are. Premium economy is this kind of uncanny valley between economy and business. And in the same way, I think like Bottomless Brunch is this uncanny valley between a pub and a restaurant.
Yeah.
And people when you put in that, people kind of, they just become animals.
It's strange, isn't it? Because like, I think so much would change if everyone had to work in or do any job, I mean, in a place like a Bottomless Brunch place, because you see how the sausages are made. And like, even from just gigging in comedy clubs where you're just like, when you're on the other side of just like, feed the pigs their nachos, you know, you're never going to be comfortable being a pig again.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're sitting there at Bottomless Brunch and they've made it all look nice, and they've got like gold-edged plates or whatever, and like nice glasses, and there's like table settings that are sort of like a big pink flamingo with some tropical flowers all made of plastic, and there's like a neon angel wing sign that you can
have. I'm having a panic attack already.
You can have a photo taken, and there's like a frame of plastic ivy, green leaves all around the neon angel wing sign, and there's a white stool. And it's
it's Tat Central. It's like if Tat was a restaurant,
but if you've been at the service side of that or seen it, you know that backstage, as it were, there are a bunch of teenagers and weirdos with just crate after crate of fucking North Korean Prosecco. And they're just like, whatever, just make the fucking, pick the egg up off the floor, put it back on the fucking plate, who cares, they're not even eating it. And you're just like, mm-hmm. and like, oh, table three, they've trying to hide the fact one of them's been sick in one of the art buckets or whatever. And once you see the grossness of it and the screaming and the kind of entitlement and weirdness, then there were, even if you're in that setting again with good friends and drunk, you know what it's like. The secrets are revealed to you.
Yeah, you can't unsee it. You can't unsee it's the true face of the bottomless brunch.
Yeah, and you know that they're upselling you on Eggs Benedict because it's not included, but it's plus £2, you know?
Supplementary.
Yeah.
£2 supplement.
Yeah, supplement.
I love to buy that supplement. And I was like, that's special. I have a supplement.
Yeah, and you're sitting there going, oh, there's a special on that because they made too much bechamel yesterday and it's going to curdle soon. So, you know all that. You know the secrets.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely vile. Should be illegal. No more bottomless brunches until we re-enter the EU.
That's the rule, people.
Yep. Pick your poison. And am I suggesting a correlation between people who frequent bottomless brunches and their likely position on the EU referendum? Yes, I am.
Well, that is something that was pointed out at the time. The most damaging thing to society about that referendum was what a shockingly accurate predictor your stance on Brexit was for almost every other part of your life.
Mm.
There were exceptions. There were plenty of Islington vegetarian Lexiteers, but yes, only a few. There were plenty in number, but not as a statistic. And there were some, Liverpool's a very blue-collar city, proud working-class city, and that was fully Remain. Very powerfully Remain, which some people linked with it not reading the Sun newspaper.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Mm. Maybe. But other than these exceptions, broadly speaking...
Ireland.
Huh?
Oh, and potentially its proximity to Ireland, both physically and culturally.
Yes, that's true as well. Yeah. But other than these exceptions, you could just look at someone... It could be like a good version of Guess Who. You just say to someone, they went to Oxbridge, but they work for a charity. You go, oh, Remain.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And you go, oh, they went to Oxbridge, but they work for a hedge fund. And you go, what does the hedge fund invest in? Manufacturing. Oh, Remain. Just like shorting and like money trading. Leave. Yeah, leave.
I was going to say shorting. If they're shorting, they're definitely going to vote leave.
Yeah.
So if they bet against things doing well, they're going to be voting leave, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're cynical monsters who don't care about the rest of society. Yeah. Leave. If they work in banking and that's their mindset, absolutely leave. Yeah. Yeah. It's that's what's so damaging, though, because when you get an issue that cuts society in twain that clearly, and you can tell I'm a Remainer because I just said twain, and only a Ponzi EU fucking
I think you could tell before.
Piece of shit would fucking, you know. Huh?
I think we could probably tell from your personification of Leave voters.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, look, also, you know, if you're living in one of the parts of the country that's been completely left behind by all investment, sure, yeah, leave. But that's not the EU's fault, so it's still a wrong decision in my head. It's a decision I understand, but it's like punching your mum because your dad's left. It's not. Doesn't make sense. Might make you feel better, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway...
That's that. Yeah.
Can you believe how long ago that was now?
It's crackers.
And it's still in the news and it's still ruining everything.
It's still ruining everything. It's not in the news, though, is the thing. That's the peculiar thing about it is it's this enormous elephant in the country.
It still comes up with the Tories, though. It's always like there was a report the other week that the ministers were like, oh, I feel like. Some anonymous minister was like, oh, you're just constantly tested as to whether or not you believe in Brexit in all these weird little ways, and it makes it impossible to do the job as easily because you can't... You have to try and...
Oh, yeah. I mean, Brexit's still infecting politics and particularly infecting the... It's an infection that's killed and will kill the Tory party. That's what people aren't saying, is they go, have the Tories just... Are they tired out? Is 13 years a natural amount of time for a government to be in power? And no one is saying in 2016 they were infected with a terminal illness that was Brexit and it's ruined the party. It looks like it hasn't because Boris Johnson won this big majority, but Boris Johnson becoming leader was a symptom.
Yeah.
And without Brexit, there's no Boris Johnson, there's no Liz Truss, there's no Rishi Sunak, there's no mortgage crisis, yada 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 yada. And so it's what killed them eventually. It was an illness they signed up to. And that's what's weird to me, that people don't just say, this has all come from Brexit. This is all just, this is just another domino falling after the first domino.
I think the most helpful thing for getting the Remain side to accept that they had lost is how incredibly irritating the FBPE people are on Twitter.
Yeah. But as Twitter becomes, as Twitter dies,
yeah,
thankfully, I think hopefully debate will be less polarized and less obnoxious. That's very hopeful thinking. But
yeah, because there's lots of extremely, those people are super obnoxious who are like, did you vote leave just because you haven't tried pâté?
Those people. I mean,
who go on and on about like how shit England is and how great France is. Fucking go there then. Live in the Loire Valley.
The intersection between righteous politics and sort of cockwomble Twitter humor has a very destructive legacy.
Yeah. Ooh, you bloody wank puffin. Well,
whack, yuck, horrible.
Oh God, the legacy of sort of the whimsical swearing in compound nouns of Blackadder, I think.
I wonder what the upcoming and current right wingification of Europe will do for the FBPE lot. You know, with Giorgio Meloni in Italy and
Although Poland went the other way. Poland's gone.
Yeah, Poland is the very significant outlier. But now Netherlands, France.
France, not sure yet.
Netherlands. It does seem. Yeah, the thing about Europe is, at least when one place goes way right, another seems to go left, and they kind of all kind of balance each other out. At least Europe doesn't seem to go all far right at once.
Yeah,
which is
all you take your turn. You have your shift.
Yeah.
With Macron, who knows what that sneaky little cougar fucker's got up his sleeve. He'll think of something.
Was his wife his teacher or something?
Yeah.
Oh, she was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking sick.
Every boy's dream. I'll marry my hot teacher and I'll become president of France. France loves leaders who are sexually odd. They love it.
Yeah. Yeah, because they want to feel seen.
Yeah. They like to know it. I think if you're a leader in France and you don't seem sexually odd, people just assume that it's so odd you're not even being out with it in a country that's fine with that.
Right. Or that you're hiding something even worse.
Like if you lived in a country where all drugs were legal and you had a friend who was like, hey, I'm going to do some substances, but don't tell anyone. It's people aren't cool with it. You'd be like, oh my God, it must be, it must be fucking like kid's blood or something then. If you're ashamed of doing it in this society. Like when they discovered Francois Hollande had an affair, had a mistress, his popularity went up by like 5
really?
Points. Yeah. Because the French were like, that's great. Sick, thank God. He's so boring.
Maybe France is better. Interesting.
No, everything's on fire all the time.
Yeah, literally. People like to say, country's on fire. France regularly is.
They love to set big tire fires. Then again, we're a bit on fire. But we'll figure it out, Phil.
Only in the summer.
Yeah, it's all going to come right, Phil. I have faith.
What's going to come right?
The UK. It's been pooing the bed.
Yeah. Yeah, look, if nothing else, remember this podcast's unofficial catchphrase, regression to the mean.
Regression to the mean.
The UK is due a massive regression to the mean.
Huge. You've been flipping this UK coin. It has been tails for fucking 13 years. It has to be heads now. It has to be heads.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't break maths. We've tried so hard to break maths by doing things like destroying the thing that makes the numbers go up and then trying to make the numbers go up. Things like that. But it has to be heads.
Ugh. Exactly.
We should do some correspondence.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, your sister, correspondence.
Now, Filippo, I'm going to send you a piece of art.
Okay.
And it's by our listener, Sam, who I believe we read his amazing sort of poem out on the bonus pod, didn't we?
Oh yeah, Sam, god damn, he's a way with words. And in the bonus pod, Sam wrote us an incredible poem about having a terrible, was he hungover, had a stomach bug,
he was in a hostel whilst
interrailing or something like this.
Yeah.
And he wrote this beautiful lyrical poem about the experience of crawling to the toilet, vomiting and shitting everywhere. And it turned out he was writing it on the floor of the toilet in situ.
Yeah, and he only revealed that towards the end of the poem, where it was like, and by the way, reader, I'm there now. You know,
Incredible reveal. Yeah.
Well, Phil, it turns out that he's even more of a Renaissance man than we thought. Because he's wearing a ruff and he's got syphilis. No, he's not that kind of Renaissance man. He has done the most amazing piece of art. I'll read the message and then I'll WhatsApp it to you and we can hear your reaction live.
Okay.
And then I'll put it on Instagram or I'll post it somehow. Sam says, I drew this almost 2 years ago and only remembered it today whilst putting together my portfolio. I think I lost faith in it at the time, feeling it was a little Mark Chapman.
What does that mean?
Mark Chapman is the guy who shot John Lennon.
Oh, okay.
Because it's quite an intense drawing, I will say.
Okay.
I lost faith in it at the time, fearing it was a little Mark Chapman. But it's aged pretty well, and there's no sense in it never seeing the light of day. So here you go. Do with it as you will. Frame it, burn it, have it tattooed on a loved one. But if you could also show it to Phil on the pod, I'd really like to hear his reaction. I hope it's not too insane. Coaching! Okay, so here is the image sent.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. Opening. Whoa!
Yeah. Take a look at that. Can you describe it?
It's essentially a movie poster for Bud Pod. It's got Bud Pod written over the top in blue and red. And the tagline, the stinking man's bum pit.
Yes, which we said at some point a long time ago. The stinking man's bum pit is what we call
and
ourselves.
In the image, Pierre and I are sat on like an underground or a transit train, some sort of metro train. But instead of regular seats, the seats we're on are toilets.
Yeah.
And we're sat next to some pretty disapproving-looking, horrible people.
Yeah.
And above us, there's a bum with like some intestine sticking out of it.
The bum is like pumping.
Mecatine! Sam's drawn Mecatine.
Yeah, that's Mecatine. And look who's dancing on Mecatine's hip.
Who's dancing on Mecatine? City Roach.
Yeah, it's City Roach.
Oh my god. Oh, Grandma Caveman's holding a sign that says Pop Jizz Stink. Oh, is the Joker's in there? It's like the Joker.
Bruce Forsyth as Dr. Manhattan is on the posters at the back as well.
Whoa. Together so we joy. There's so much detail here. Okay, well, Pierre, we'll have to post this.
Yeah.
And people and pod buds can see.
Uncle Fatty the monkey is there.
Oh, wow.
And look at the little kid in the front standing in the sewer drain.
Oh, I was trying to figure out what he's got on his hands. They're chickens.
Yeah, boy.
Chicken boxing.
Chicken boxing. An absolute classic. Wow. I've messaged Sam and asked him if I could put it on Instagram because it's so amazing. Yes, he says yes. Okay, I'll post that. I'll put it on my Instagram. I'll tag you in it, Sam. It's so good. How do you feel about seeing Mechatine, the power of 1,000 wanks? He's got like a big hand.
Mechatine looks genuinely cool. The outfit is kind of like Crusader Cyborg.
Judge Dredd.
Oh, it's Judge Dredd.
It's very 2000 AD.
Yeah.
The drawing style. It's very cool. How good is that?
Wow, I'm so impressed. He's a very talented guy, Sam.
He's a Renaissance man. Now he just needs to compose a very fiddly piece of music for one specific instrument that isn't really played much anymore, like the harpsichord. and then he'll be a true Renaissance man.
On my lap, I have a bottle of super poison. Which I think is...
He killed the lawnmower with it, I think, didn't he?
Ah.
I think that was Sam himself, I think. Or am I getting confused?
Or was it like us when we were kids making potions out of our mum's... bathroom products.
Yes. And he made some sort of evil compound in the in his garage and injected it into his lawnmower and destroyed it. He tried to fuel the lawnmower with super poison or something, and it blew up. I think. I'm struggling to remember now. Okay, so check that out on Instagram. And Phil, I'm just taking a second here to sign into the BudPod email because I've got a new phone.
Oh, yeah. We're all very happy for you.
Thank you.
Is it a substantial upgrade? Does it feel better, work better?
Phil, you and I, another similarity we share is not getting a new phone until after about 5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always going to be a substantial upgrade, baby.
Of course. I don't understand people who want to get the new one every single time. It's like
the idea of that makes me so stressed.
You're not going to feel the benefit. It's like putting on your scarf too early. You won't feel the benefit.
It makes me so stressed. Like, once a year, I love to spend an afternoon downloading an iCloud backup and fucking admin. So I'm just not a fan. I'm just not a fan, Philippe. So, we have a message from Ali.
Ali, our good pally.
Yes, and Ali, if you don't mind me saying, I've clicked on your profile picture on your Gmail, and he's a handsome fella. I'll just show Phil. His picture's kind of badly stretched from cropping, but look at that guy.
Whoa!
Yeah.
He looks like fucking... Dorman, the 50 Shades of Grey guy.
Does he?
Doesn't he?
I don't know.
I think maybe
like.
He just has a beard. But yeah, handsome guy, beard with a jacket.
Yeah.
Suit jacket.
Cool guy.
Shout out to the pod bud who gave me a koji in the charity shop in Peckham yesterday.
Cool place to be koji'd.
Very cool place to be koji'd.
Yeah, boy. So the subject line is pharophallus spam. Military doctor tells all.
Pharophallus spam.
Phallus.
Phallus spam. Phallus spam. Yeah. Okay.
Dear purveyors of poop, long time listener here. Absolutely love the pod. Keep up the smelly work. I recently moved to Wales and was perhaps too pleased to learn that the word for bread sounds like a fart phenomenon holds up here too.
Oh, great.
The Welsh word for bread being barra.
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 Barra. Barra. Barra. Barra.
Barra.
Barra.
Their fruit loaf, barra brith, also works, adding a fun little breathy finish to the initial fart sound.
I think barra Paul brith. The Tor, when we were touring with Paul the Tor, Welsh Paul the Tor, mentioned barra.
I think barra you're right. Brith. I think Paul the Tor has been to barra a few times.
Yes, yeah. I think he makes a good barra. Barra. Bada.
Bada, bada, bada. Swing. Anyway, getting to the point, I completely crack up whenever you guys discuss spam adverts or junk mail, and as a result have started checking my junk folder occasionally in the hope of finding some gold.
It's like, that's the equivalent of in of Train Spotting when he dives into the toilet to get that one pill. You know?
That we should edit that so it's just about Bud Pod. We should just get Matt Ewens to Photoshop Bud Pod around the rim of the bowl and have a hovering label on the guy called just have as the listener. Spam is like the persistent, unnegotiating turd of the email world, clogging up our inboxes. It's never going to go away completely, so why not scoop it out and enjoy it occasionally?
Exactly.
I thought this one was particularly ridiculous for so many reasons, not least because of the email address itself, so I wanted to share with you in the hope you might perhaps read it out on the pod. In fact, I think you could do a whole section just on spam. There's so much material out there, and you could do your own jingle for it as well. It may be. Maybe. Here is the email. Okay, let's have a look at Ellie's screenshot. Oh, come on. Oh, granddad's got a new phone. Oh, no. Save image. There we go. Oh, I felt pretty weird going into the Apple store and chatting to the lady.
Did you go to the big one on Regent Street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always go in person to buy my phone. I don't want to order it in the post. Too risky.
Yeah, I used to go, but then I found some fucking way to get little bit of thingies if you order at this particular time from this particular website and someone comes over, gives you a little kiss on the eye and it was fine.
I should start trying to get you to buy things from me on the promise that like it comes with like a sort of, I don't know, like a kind of perfectly cooked, a perfectly roasted walnut in a little ring box. Just like little fancy treats, just like a little, an M&M on a necklace.
Yes,
you know, things like that. So here's the email. Oh, wow, this is the subject line of the email. The Pharaoh's Penis Enlargement Legacy.
Oh, so this is the actual junk email that, is it Sam?
Ali. He was paraphrasing. This is the actual email. The Pharaoh's Penis Enlargement Legacy, colon, Military Doctor Tells All.
Oh my God.
Underscore 0942-9989.
You got to have that in there. Yeah. Just to clarify what the email's about.
You just go, The Pharaoh's Penis Enlargement Legacy Military Doctor Tells All? What the? Oh, wait, hang on. 0942-9989. Okay. I'm gonna
right.
This
is about the beginning, really, so I understand. You nearly had me there. But, I get it, yeah.
The email address is pharaohpower@v28pp0cwtighcis.edu.
A very respectable email address.
.edu, like a university.
It's a professor. He's a professor of pharaohs.
He's an
Egyptologist.
He's the world's first professor of Egyptology and penisology. And he's found some crossover. So they say, the email says, we thought we knew everything about ancient Egypt. Did we?
I think we famously don't know very much.
I think a big problem is that we don't know nearly enough. Anyway, we thought we knew everything about ancient Egypt. Okay. How wrong we were, .. You go, oh, is this going to be like a new hieroglyphic inscription, something to do with the Two Kingdoms period, or maybe... No. Recent findings from the Pyramid of Giza describe a secret fertility... This is in bold now.
This is the singular Pyramid of Giza, is it?
The email says pyramids, Phil, so I'm going to... The professor's going to have to correct you on that.
Oh, no. I thought you said they said Pyramid of Giza.
No, Pyramids of Giza.
Okay, well, fair enough. It checks out so far.
Yeah. Describe, in bold, a secret fertility ritual the pharaohs used to enlarge their members by 4, 5, and even 6 inches. I love
this is
that.
An addition.
Yeah, if I go, like, they used to enlarge their penises by 4, 5, hell, 6. Hell, 6 inches. Wow. The process is even depicted in hieroglyphics. Warning, not for the faint of heart.
I think you could see a naughty hieroglyphic. I think they're sort of non-representative enough that I don't think it's offensive.
Yeah, that's true. You could look and go, yeah, okay, that could be someone stretching their dick on a big wheel. This latest discovery has shocked the male enhancement industry. And that's a hard industry to shock.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty glazed over in the eyes, the male enhancement industry.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to shock them.
Big pharma companies are already racing to patent this discovery and stop it from getting into the hands of regular people.
Big pharma.
Big pharma
always
don't...
getting in the way of the little guy.
Phil, big pharma don't want you to have a 14-inch dick.
For some reason.
For some reason, that would be bad. So, they're going to stop you from doing what any normal person could do in their kitchen and recreate an ancient Egyptian hieroglyphic depicted penis enlargement ritual.
Big Pharma doesn't want this to get out because it would undermine their own penis enlargement procedures.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the GSK grow your dick pill?
Yeah, 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 yeah. The Pfizer dick megaton injection? This is why you must watch this video before it's too late. I don't know how much longer I can keep it online.
I love that. Before Big Pharma.
That's like a Spider-Man holding the halves of the train together. Ah, quick! Get a 14-inch dick. I don't know how much longer I can hold them off. Ah! As they watch the video, you see that knock on the door, and the video ends with the guy going, no! And it cuts to black, like the door gets barged in by a bunch of huge dicked SWAT team members.
Yeah, there is this subtext of all these sort of grow your dick emails that the person behind it is sort of doing it almost altruistically. Like, yeah, they're doing it not for the money, but for the love of the dick, the love of the big dick.
They're just saying, I just want everyone. It's like with Thingy, the guy who released the internet source code to everyone in the 2012 London Olympics opening ceremony. This is for everyone. Big dicks.
Tim Berners-Lee.
Yeah, Tim Berners-Lee, and then all the Mary Poppins with huge dicks float down on umbrellas. Yeah, and then the link is blue. The blue link is unlock the secret penis ritual of the pharaohs for free. How great is that? I don't know how much longer I can keep it online. Quick, enlarge your dick. Quick. So good.
Also, have any of the mummies they've uncovered from Giza or the Valley of the Kings revealed, like, big old wrinkly pharaoh dicks?
Or, like, maybe the dick is in a whole separate jar and they just think it's intestine. That's no intestine. Why, that's a dick. That's a fucking, that's an old pharaoh dick.
For years, we presumed this was Imhotep's pet snake.
But it only metaphorically.
But it turned out he knew this one weird trick.
Yeah, and it's in this hieroglyph.
He was actually killed by Big Pharma. That's why all the pharaohs are dead.
That's what those guys in the hieroglyphs wearing lab coats are.
Aha!
Every pharaoh who learned this trick is dead. Coincidence? That's all the time we have. Now it's time to go to the secret dick enlargement Egyptian facility pyramid of yes. The Patreon.
Yeah, so we see any secret Patreon people there. If you're not a patron, become a patron. Also, I have two big shows left of this tour. Northampton in February. February? Northampton on the 20th of February. And the London Apollo, the big one to finish off on the 23rd of February.
Yeah,
so if you're Northampton or London, come to those.
Yep. And I will be supporting Frank Skinner on his tour and doing my own tour in autumn, already on sale.
Fantastic stuff. But for now, have a good week or see you on Friday. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.